You got quorum, right? Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order on White Island Borough Council meeting this Thursday, January 19, 2023. Board members, staff, applicants, and testifiers can choose to participate in either in person at Coeli Street or via Zoom. We'll go through the roll call. State who you are and where you're from or whatever. Go ahead, Norman. Yeah. You got to unmute.
Haumea Ka'u District.
Yeah. Norman, you have to unmute.
Ready? Lona Lyman, Konohiki of adjoining land at Kumukahi.
Oh, thank you.
Lomen Kaimalo.
Okay, go ahead.
Lomen Kaimalo representing Kona.
Scott Mahoney representing Koala.
La Crivello representing large landowner.
Draven
Apiki
representing
Hilo.
Aloha
Kalana
Blakemore representing
Puna. We have other guys in the you'd like to introduce yourselves. I see a lot of names out here.
Aloha Kako, Lokelani Brian Vegas from ASM Affiliates.
Aloha, this is Greg Chan from the University of Hawaii.
Hi, I'm Blanche Fountain with the University of Hawaii.
Hi, I'm Jesse Suki with the University of Hawaii.
Aloha mai kako, Wallace Ishibashi, UH Hilo.
Aye.
Aloha kaz, aloha.
Aloha, Angela Neller calling from the mainland.
Hey, Angela. Hi.
Aloha mai kako, kuule, kialoha Cooper, representing the James and Mulan Kialoha Estate, and mahalo for the continued protection and preservation of our iwi kupuna.
Thank you, Kima. You have to unmute Malia. Oh, that's something. What about Misty? Misty?
Hi, aloha mai kako. My name is Misty Carter, County of Hawaii, Kilauea Disaster Recovery Coordinator.
Hokulani?
Yeah. Aloha mai kako, Hokulani Fortunato from Puna.
Okay. I think we got everybody. Who's the? Did we get Kule?
Hi, Kule Kealoha Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
From Puna. Yes, mahalo plenty.
Sorry. There's so many guys on the screen. Okay.
Aloha. Somali onani, Savomikin, representing Puna.
Mahalo. Mahalo everybody for attending and stuff. First item we're gonna go is the minutes. Do we have a motion to accept?
I move to accept both minutes as presented, unless there's discussion or any changes or any typos. I move to accept.
A second.
A second.
Okay. Just show of hands, everybody accept the minutes.
Wait, I'd like to make a comment before.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I wanted one small change on the September minutes. July. On Under business, Akea, where are you? I just wanted to know if you could write where it says motion to items A and B. I don't know what the motion was for. And I noticed on the next page, the motion identified what it was for. So I was just wondering, could you just add to recognize applicants as lead?
Okay.
Thanks. That's all I have. Otherwise, I'm end of vote.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Go for the vote. Everybody in favor, say aye.
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 Not in favor. Hold your peace. All right. Minutes have passed. Let's go to the first line of business is draft burial treatment plan for Shifty number 50-10-46-21792 and number 50-10-46-21794 located in Kumukai, Kula'aupua, Puna District, Island of Hawaii, DMK, parentheses 3-1-4-002, semicolon 092. Okay, look at Lani.
Hi, aloha kako. I just wanted to add to something, Uncle Scott, for the burial site. It looks like it's missing one of the sites on the agenda. So this is actually a draft burial treatment plan for SIHP site 50-10-46-4251 and site 21794 and a portion of 21792. So just wanted to, just for the record, so we know we're covering three different sites. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So mahalo nui kako. So I just wanted to sort of recap this project that's been going on for about 2 years now. So we first came to the Hawaii Island Burial Council back in October 14th, the 2021 meeting. At that meeting, we provided council with an update on the BTP process. We provided our preliminary results from the our June 11th, 2021 site visit with lineal descendant Kione Kalabe, and we sort of outlined the steps in the BTP process. Since that October HIBC meeting, ASM has since completed a reconnaissance survey of the 39-acre portion of the larger 58-acre UH parcel. Field work was conducted between October 19, 2021 and on November 9th and 10th of 2021. On March 2023, ASM staff returned to the parcel in an attempt to document an alleged burial cave that was reportedly on the property. No burial cave was located, and on May 25th, 2022, Mr. Kalabe informed me that the cave was in fact not on the UH parcel. So in all, about 150 man hours were spent completing the reconnaissance survey. And the findings from that reconnaissance survey are in a report titled An Archaeological Reconnaissance Survey of a 39-acre kipuka located at Kumukahi, prepared by myself and my colleague, Helena Kapuni Reynolds, in 2022. And the site descriptions that appear in this draft BTP were taken directly from that report. Additionally, we continue to search for other possible lineal and cultural descendants through workshops and continued outreach. But in the meantime, we continue to work with the two recognized descendants, Mr. Kalabe and Mr. Keiki Aloha Kikipi, who is actually present in person at the DOFA office today. and have continued to work with them throughout the entirety of the burial treatment planning process. So I'm here today along with representatives from UH. I have Dr. Gregory Chun, Mr. Wally Ishibashi, and Mrs. Blanche Fountain, as well as Jesse Suki. And we're here to sort of present this BTP to the council. We are seeking a determination of preservation in place for all burial features associated with sites 4251, 21794, and that portion of site 21792 located on the within the UH boundaries. As always, I'm always open to hearing comments and feedback. So I will touch briefly on, I'll kind of go through the report and start with the introduction. I'll touch briefly on some cultural historical background, describe our consultation efforts, and then we'll go in detail on the proposed treatments for the sites. Let me just jump over. Okay. Just a second. Okay, so this burial treatment plan was prepared in response to a letter that was sent from the Office of Hawaiian Affairs to the university, requesting its attention on an unresolved burial disturbance at Komokahi. The letter, as it was later found and is further described throughout in the report, mistakenly presumed that the disturbance occurred on the university parcel. The OHA letter identified a single site, site 21792, from which EB were removed by tourists from Indiana in circa 1999. It also specified that after the incident, the EB were subsequently turned over to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, where they have remained in their custody, and referenced an unsigned and unexecuted 2002 MOA between UH and DLNR that outlined measures for the reinterment and protection of the EB. The letter also referenced an alleged June 2020 incident associated with the burials at Kumukahi that was brought to the DLNR and the Hawaii Island Burial Council's attention. This incident also reignited interest and discussions about the impact of unrestricted visitors to the burial sites at Komokahi. Lastly, OHA requested that UH take action to investigate and resolve these longstanding issues through either the execution of the 2002 MOA or through the development of a VTP. A copy of both the letter as well as the unsigned MOA is included in the report as Appendix A and B, respectively. None of the above referenced incidents regarding the burial site disturbances occurred on the UH parcel, and UH is unaware of any other reported incidences occurring on the parcel. So in response to OHA's concern, UH solicited proposals from qualified professionals to help in this process. And so ASM was contracted to help provide guidance on preparation of the VTP, as well as sort of navigating all of the different elements of this particular project. So on June 1st of 2021, that's when I first met with Mr. Kione Kalave and Mr. Keiki Aloha Kikipi, who are both previously recognized lineal descendants to these burial sites at Komokahi. At that meeting, they both expressed and shared with me past HRS Chapter 6E violations in the area. They spoke about the 2002 MOA, and they expressed concern about the lack of proper archaeological documentation of the burial sites on and off the parcel. They also noted that there were burial features within the parcel that had not yet been documented. On June 11th, at the onset of the burial planning efforts, ASM, along with Mr. Kalave, did a site field inspection of the property and the adjacent areas. The field inspection, which focused on gathering locational data for the burial sites within the parcel, led to the discovery of several previously undocumented features, including additional burials. So based on the results of the field inspection and in consultation with UH, it was determined that a burial treatment plan should not proceed until more thorough reconnaissance of the area had been conducted, and the detailed information concerning the number and location of the burial features had been collected. Furthermore, it was determined that a land survey conducted by a licensed land surveyor to mark the southern section, the southern boundary of the parcel, was necessary to determine which features and sites are within and outside of the UH property. So in light of these matters—
What page on the burial treatment are you reading off of? Or are you looking at?
I'm on the introduction page, page one. So, you know, we completed, once we had enough data, we was able to go, enough data on the sites, you know, so we can know how many features we were dealing with, the extent of the site, then we were able to proceed with burial treatment planning. So it's been quite, you know, it's been a little bit of a pause throughout, but we're here. So we was able to gather enough of the locational GIS data mapping. We worked with Mr. Kalave during the reconnaissance survey to help map the sites out there. So in terms of cultural historical background information, there has been
documented information about burial sites and a cemetery actually out in Kumukahi. So on, I believe it's page 40 of the document, figure 15 actually shows a map from 1895 by Lobenstein, where he shows sort of this general area that is labeled as Homelani, ancient burial grounds, which sort of is right along the UH property on the southwestern corner. So you can see it outlined kind of circled just to kind of cue in on that area. And there's other historical documentation, but I won't go through too much to the background because it's quite extensive. But there's a full history of the property for those who are interested in reading through that. And then you get to the site description. So as you can see, we do the reconnaissance. We're able to document not only the burial features, but other features that are on the property, including the, you know, historic king's pillars and other things as well. But as far as the burial sites, we're dealing with, you know, three sites, so three different areas on the property. You have maps and photos to accompany all of that to show you where they're located and their sizes and extent. So as far as our search for lineal and cultural descendants, we put out public notices back in June of 2021. There was a few people that responded. Three people, in fact, responded to that. However, none of those individuals actually came forward to seek recognition as either lineal or cultural descendants. We also did a workshop, a community workshop with a nonprofit by Vela Vela, with the hopes to identify more other persons that may have genealogical ties to the area. So in that workshop, we provided information to help lineal and cultural descendants with the application process as well. Again, no one from the workshop had come forward. And so we continued to work with Mr. Kalabe and Mr. Kikipi throughout the process. So I'm in the proposed treatment section 5, unless there are any questions about anything that I had just presented. Okay, great. So the proposed treatment for the three sites, 4251, 21794, and that portion of 21792 within the UH parcel is preservation in place, is what we're hoping, you know, to get that determination. The following sections of the BTP outline to specific protective measures. And so these were developed along, you know, working with Kione and Keiki in getting their input. We sent multiple drafts back and forth to each other. We met multiple times, text message and everything to help refine and come to some sort of mutual agreement on what would be acceptable for both parties. Yeah. So the long-term preservation measures for site 4251 and 21794, which are kind of nearer to each other, will be accomplished through the creation of a preservation boundary delineated by a 4-foot high rock wall that extends around the site at a minimum of 50 feet from the site's edge. The boundary wall will be inclusive of both sites 4251 and 21794, as well as other cultural features shown below in figure 60. So that would be page 92 of your paper, of your document. Let's see. During our reconnaissance survey, it was found that the platform surface of 4251 has collapsed, resulting in the exposure of sensitive human remains. Before any rock wall or preservation boundaries are installed, site 4251 will be restored and stabilized to ensure the human remains interred therein are protected. So stabilization for 4251, once that's piled, then put up the rock wall buffers, the 4-foot high rock wall buffers. So that's the proposed treatment for that particular site. And then for 21792, because of its location, the site itself straddles three separate property boundaries and three separate, which are owned by three separate individuals or entities. And so the long-term preservation for that is similar to the other two sites, which is a 4-foot high rock wall. But rather than sort of create a 50-foot sort of buffer around it, we decided to put it along the edge of the road. Okay, so if you see on page 94 of your document, the blue line that you see where it shows the wall running, the proposed wall, which is the blue line running along an existing roadway. Okay. I also want to add to that some of the features within this portion of the site had some evidence of being disturbed. So similar to the other site, we're also recommending that any sizable openings be sealed up and any site stabilized before the wall is constructed. One of the things that the lineal descendants had expressed to me throughout the process was, you know, how do we protect the whole of the site rather than just that portion on the UH property? So the landowner, you know, UH recognizes that the site extends beyond their parcel boundaries, and they are committed to protecting that portion of the site that's on their property. And so through consultation with the lineal descendants, they have indicated to me where they would like the remaining portions of the wall constructed. However, this plan does not commit adjacent landowners, nor does it provide protective measures for those features of site 21792 outside of the current parcel boundaries. However, we are strongly encouraging adjacent landowners to review this plan and develop in consultation with lineal descendants, HIBC, and DLNR SHPD, you know, to develop protective measures for that portions of the site that is within their parcel boundaries. It's really only through the cooperation of adjacent landowners that the whole of site 21794 can be, 21792 can be wholly protected. And so those are sort of the two specific measures that we have for that site. As we go down on page 93, all of these specific, the different headings that you see would apply to all of the sites, okay, all three of them. So if necessary, compact heavy equipment fitted with rubber trucks may be utilized during restoration efforts. Once the sites have been stabilized, periodic monitoring and stabilization efforts will be ongoing. And because of the location of the property, you know, there's a lot of earthquakes in that area. So we wanted to make sure there was room in the language in the BTP to address sort of continued maintenance of the sites and stabilizing them. Delineation of the preservation boundaries. So prior to the installation of any of the preservation measures, the landowner will seek the services of an archaeological consultant, a qualified consultant, to flag the location of the above specified rock wall preservation boundaries. Archaeologists will provide the landowner with written and photographic documentation upon completion of this work. The preservation boundary wall shall then be surveyed by a certified surveyor to establish a meets and bounds descriptions of each of the preservation boundaries. Sourcing of the stone for the rock walls would come from the parcel and will be constructed in dry stack masonry traditions to ensure consistency with the look of the existing sites, as well as to keep with the consistent traditional masonry practices of the Pune district. No cement at all will be utilized in any part of restoration, stabilization, site, you know, any of that stuff. So no cement. Signage citing applicable state laws and discouraging unlawful entry into the burial preserves, desecration of burial sites and associated penalties, as well as no trespassing signs or, you know, will be placed at points along the wall to deter persons other than recognized descendants from entering the site, lineal and or cultural. The location and verbiage of these signs shall be determined with input from DLNR SHPD. Maintenance,
The landowner shall allow vegetation control maintenance to be conducted within the preservation boundary to limit impacts to protected sites. Hand clearing or thinning of vegetation using handheld power tools such as chainsaws or weed whackers will be permitted as part of vegetation maintenance. Due to the porous nature of the ground surface and proximity to the ocean, no chemical pesticides of any kind will be permitted within the preservation boundary. Use of heavy equipment to clear vegetation is also prohibited. Vegetation clearing and maintenance within the preservation boundary will focus on the removal of non-native species and the preservation of indigenous and endemic flora appropriate to the area. Native plant species may be trimmed back or removed if they are encroaching upon the site in a way that will undermine or compromise the integrity of the site. So access for descendants will be to, so currently there's no vehicular access to the parcel, and I want to make that really clear. Since the 2018 eruption, it covered a portion of the road, and so there's currently no vehicular access, although people illegally cross over onto adjacent parcels to get down there currently. So the parcel will not be open to the general public and only limited activity with the permission of the landowner may be allowed. Access for recognized lineal and cultural descendants wishing to visit the burial site will be allowed by the landowner with prior notice. UH is asking that any visitations or work being done down there, that they just notify UH's Office of Strategic Development and Partnership via phone or email. So just give them a heads up, and for mostly for liability purposes. That access will always be granted along the existing lighthouse roads, and if gates are installed, the landowner will open the gate or gates or provide lineal descendants with the means to do so. Recognized descendants are being asked to park at the existing graded area adjacent to the lighthouse and walk to the sites unless use of a vehicle over the parcel is allowed by the landowner on a case-by-case basis. Continued community and recognized descendants involvement and input. The development of all the preservation measures outlined above will be done after providing an opportunity for input by lineal descendants. The landowner may also consider working with local organizations, the community, or school groups in conjunction with lineal descendants who may be willing and able to aid in fulfilling the preservation measures outlined above. Implementation. So the landowner will implement all of the preservation measures outlined above and continue to work collaboratively with the lineal descendants to ensure the sites are maintained. And will notify SHPD upon writing once the preservation measures are implemented. I did want to add here, I did get a comment. So I wanted to just notify you folks that I did want to make a change to this particular section. The university is asking, because of the way funds are allocated through the university, that the preservation measures may be implemented incrementally as funding is appropriated, allotted, or otherwise made available for these purposes. The UH is not proposing any current or future ground disturbance in the affected areas. So this BTP represents the university's sort of willingness and good faith effort to continue to work with the descendants and the community to help steward the resources in this area. So there is no proposed development activity, and I kind of forgot to mention that at the beginning. So just to make us aware of that. You know, all descendants are just asked to, you know, exercise respect, decorum, and comply with the preservation measures outlined in this plan. This plan, along with the meets and bounds survey of the preservation boundaries for the three sites, will be recorded with the Hawaii State Bureau of Conveyance so that it's attached to the title of the property. The requirements of this BTP shall only apply to the preservation boundaries established by meets and bounds. However, the landowner will strive for consistency with the BTP in any future uses or activities on other portions of the parcel. And so, and an implementation of this BTP shall be consistent with any established rights customarily and traditionally exercised for subsistence, cultural, and religious purposes by Ahupua'a tenants who are descendants of Native Hawaiians who inhabited the islands prior to 1778. Yeah. And so that sort of brings together the different parts of this BTP. I'm open to questions or comments.
La,
see your hand up.
Aloha. Always super good to see you and have these kind of discussions. You do such a great job with your BTPs, and I'm always so impressed and really just supportive of how you go about your process and representing the archaeologist side. Before we discuss further, Kea, I'm just gonna, I wanna make a motion, but to preserve in place first before we move on to the recommendations for the BTP. But I wanted to understand, if you could clarify, Kea, if we make a motion to preserve all three sites, there's only a portion on their property, but we are talking about the entire site, correct? Regardless of the other landowner.
Yes. Sorry, were you asking?
Sorry to make you walk.
No, she was asking if we make a motion.
For preservation in place.
Preservation in place. And there's three site numbers. Though one of those site numbers are outside the landowner's jurisdiction, how does that
a play? Portion of it. Portion. Yeah. But if we do make that motion to preserve in place for all three, it doesn't really.
Excuse yeah, me. Well, you're basically preserving in place whatever is on the parcel.
Property. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Question. Okay. I missed it then. Okay, you know, the question I'm going to ask you. Excuse me, counsel. And mahalo for all of the work that you've been doing. I only found out that this meeting happened 2 days ago. Prior to that, we can come back and keep on talking to Loki so we can resolve some stuff. The other part, what happened is, when I went back into my practice in Andrew, the prior council unanimously went past the buffers for all of the burial sites, all of the burial sites, not just this one. All of the ones here, like Kumukahi that was found, that was 250 and 500. Then came back to this council and when asked for a determination, I think that was erroneous. I want you to consider that this meeting shouldn't be processed, shouldn't make any votes until you get all of the information. So one other thing is we're still in discussion. Yes, we like preserve everything in place, but everything. So the reason I bring this up, because in the last, we was current, the rules that was in place when the prior council had this slap, and they made the first determination of the buffers and all that. In the rules, let me show you that, okay. And that time, currently, October 21st, 2002, there was chapter 13, 277. That was the rules prior to 300. Let me read you one part over here. In 13277-4D. And what it says is, once approved, buffer zones shall be marked and overall project maps and physical markers shall be placed on the ground, delineating the buffers. And we get a couple different 60, 68, 60, 42, 67, 63, 61, 63, and this is all the HRF. So the reason I bring you guys to this is prior council info, according to the rules presently at that time that was supposed to be enforced, once approved, so had already approved. So now if we're going back as redundancy, we're trying to erase what was already done by the prior council. That's because you guys don't knowledgeable about what the laws that was in place. And until you guys get enough information, we move on. My cousin and I, We fool on into preservation. You did everything you said, preservation and mitigation. Yeah. So at that time, when you look at that, it was the university that never like signed the MOA. So what you gotta know is why they never like signed the MOA. Because they have to go to certain channels. And at that time, it was still under an agreement, 130 lease agreement. They later acquired a parcel. But still, yeah, the rules that was in effect wasn't followed. And now when we keep on persisting, extremely local. That's why we wanted to meet with them, and we want to find out the other part doing that about the adjacent landowners. We had agreement, and we can get all of the Zoom meetings to verify, so you have all of the information so you can make an educated decision of why I'm telling you this meeting shouldn't be going on until we can verify if indeed the rules was in effect, is still in effect, so that he has no more anything for say about any buffers. If in fact this rules was followed, then was already implemented. I know you need you guys on top of the rules, you need to be here. See? So I'll tell you, we should postpone this meeting because you guys moving on without having all of the information.
So, Uncle, if I could, real quick. Yes. So we have two things. We got two parts of this process that we have to do. And I want to make sure I understand where you're coming from. Yes. And so the first thing we have to do is not, it's not about the BTP itself. It's about the sites. So there's the three sites. So we have to decide, there's only two options.
Yeah.
It's relocation or preservation in place. So I want to understand, do you want to preserve in place?
Preservation in place, as it.
So that's the only thing we're voting on. We're not talking, where this is okay. Not the BTP. All we're doing is saying you want to preserve in place.
Okay,
so I'll do that first. And then we'll move on to the BTP itself. But we do want to make sure that we're supporting preservation in place. So now that I understand that, with regard to the Jaff burial treatment plan, and specifically for SIHP or sites 5010, 46, 4251, 21794, and 21792, or the portion on this parcel, I motion to preserve in place the remains at Kumukahi Kula'ahupua'a Puna District, Island of Hawaii. Okay.
The prior council accept preservation in place also. Thank you.
Uncle, you're muted.
Uncle Scott, you're muted. So I motioned and who seconded? Uncle Dad?
Yep. I second that motion by La Crivello. And by the way, mahalo loke.
Mahalo loke too. It's been moved that by law to preserve in place the sites of 4251, 21794, and 21792, and second by Desmond Halmea. Any discussion? I understand, listening to Keiki, you know, I don't know what happened in the past and all that other stuff, but the sites that we all are concerned with all the EV, but the EV on the other side of the University of Hawaii is not what we're discussing today. We're discussing the burial treatment plan for UH property and those three sites. So, you know, I'd like to see if we could follow up and secure the private landowners and stuff. But right now, I think, to me anyway, just dealing with the sites at hand is the way we should go. But everybody else can discuss. So that's just my feelings.
I do think that it's a good step in the right direction with a portion of that site being on this property, because it kind of makes it, it does make it more difficult for them to go against that, being that a portion is on the parcel. So I think this is a good thing to do, and we do what we can for now. And then when it comes to the time for them to come in, they're going to have to come here too. So whether it's now or a decade from now. This is awesome to be preserving these in place and supporting the descendants. So I cockle this, and that's why I made a motion.
I have a question for Loki on the buffer zones. That buffer zone that in blue on page 94.
Yeah.
Is only that side, right? You're talking about how is that thing securing anything if all the rest is open? You know, so, I mean,
yeah.
Even if the private landowner is on one side, how come we're not securing your section?
So the blue line would follow, you know, as you can see, that's where the wall would be constructed.
Yeah.
The area in between the site, the yellow sort of dash line, sort of demarcating the general extent of the site, and that area is really, really rough and undulating. And it, there's deep crevices, it comes up, you know, so I thought it was most practical to just extend it along the road, because that's where people would be coming from. You know, there is this issue of people coming in from the other side, and that's unfortunately on, you know, a different under different ownership. And so we could adjust the boundary walls for this one, but then it would cut the site in half if we did that. If the wall was constructed on the UH boundaries, it would segment the site into different areas. And so this was sort of our attempt at trying to avoid segmenting the site by buffer walls.
What is that? What is that? Looks like a road on the north side of that blue line.
Yes.
What is that? Is that a road going where?
That's the road that comes down from the lighthouse. It comes south from the lighthouse, and then it curves along the coast. And that's the road that has been used, you know, for people to get down to the coastal area to fish or to come back around the coast and go toward north along the coast, fish, camp, and whatnot. So it would be built right alongside the edge of the road.
Oh, I see.
And on top of that, the road would, as you can see, the wall is being proposed over one of the existing roads to prevent vehicular access from coming into that section of the property.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay, call for the vote on preserving in place the burial sites of 4251. 21794 and 21792. Jerry Law is correct, right? Okay. Yeah. Call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 3, 4, 5. How many? Oh, 6. Okay, unanimous. Thank you. Let's pass. Keon.
We're looking at recommendation,
yeah.
Uncle.
Yeah, we're looking for already past that motion, but what about the barrier treatment? Anyone want to make a motion on the barrier treatment plan itself?
I have a question.
Okay, Trent. Go ahead.
So thank you, UH, for working with everybody on this. I know there's a lot of red tape you guys got to go through. This is related to the incremental implementation of the BTP. Is there going to be a time limit for that incremental implementation so that it's not going on incrementally for 40 years? Or, you know, do you have anything to add about that?
Hey, Travin, I have a question really quick, Kale. Do we need to make our motion first and then discuss?
Sorry, Kale, I have to step up for another meeting. But as far as what motion to accept or not accept, asking questions about
wow. Yeah, are we allowed to have this like questions and discussion before we make a motion? I'm just asking so I know.
Normally you would make the motion and then the discussion come after. Yeah.
Okay, then let's start with a motion to accept the burial treatment plan or not. Anybody?
The burial treatment plan or preservation in place?
And for Uncle Keiki, just heads up that we're just going to do this so we can talk story about it. Okay. But whatever motion we make, we can still vote against it at the end. So no worries if we make a motion to accept and you're uncomfortable, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, then we can leave it up for the open it up for discussion, and then because I think there's a lot of important questions and stuff like Trevon's asking and stuff now. So anyone want to lead that?
In response to Trevon's question?
No, it's in response to putting a motion to accept the barrier treatment. Then we can always, you know, vote whatever way you want, but at least we can discuss.
Okay, so with regard to the draft burial treatment plan for sites 21792, 21794, and 4251 located in Kumukahikula, Ahupua'a, Puna District, Island of Hawaii, I motion to accept the draft plan or to recommend, I motion to recommend that the State Historic Preservation Division accept the BTP.
In a second. Okay, Dad.
Okay, do we want a motion to, someone want to make a motion to not accept?
That's it. Okay. The motion is for preservation in place.
I think we can have a discussion without having a motion. This is kind of a first for me. A lot of times we spent hours discussing a BTP before we even put a motion on the floor to recommend to accept or not. And I don't want to make to second that motion. I just want to have discussion.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat because I want to be able to get all questions, all discussions out there to be able to make a the appropriate motion and recommendation for acceptance or not.
Okay, Homeo.
I just wanted to share that because we're dealing with Ivi Kupuna, it takes us to the level of healing, yeah? What we're caring for is our Ivi Kupuna as well as our Aina. So part of this process of healing, aside from Ho'oponopono, is to conduct hui kuka kuka. So when we're making decisions, it not only addresses the burial plan, but it also addresses our kupuna and what they shared with us. I know you guys don't want to hear this, but we should follow their path because it is their Ivi we're trying to protect. And before all of this Robert's rules and all these rules, I think hui kuka kuka should be put in place. We're here voluntarily. But we put our time on the side for this. And I think if we want to conduct a healing process for our Ivi Kupuna and our Aina, it's essential to understand the traditional healing of our Kupuna.
Mainly just don't want our discussion to not be accounted for. I want to make sure that everything that's discussed is, because if we don't, like if Kia guys tell us that that's the process we're supposed to do it, and that's in order to make sure it's all on paper and we're like, so that we can make sure we do it right for the kupuna and for these ohana, and we don't, and we have this whole discussion and then it's not on the record or like we did it wrong, and so this whole thing goes to mud. That's the only reason I was worried, because we've had discussion like that before, but if we discuss things before we make a motion, then it's not accounted for as we move forward. We can make a different motion to defer. We can make a motion to reject, but it's just to make sure that everything we talk about is on record appropriately, because that process is what we are kind of bound by under the as council members, but we can still do everything that have that discussion, and it doesn't take away from that at all, but it makes it so that we ensure that the things we talk about and agree upon are included as a part of this discussion legally. But if Chris and Kea think that it's not necessary to do that, that's why I asked, if I have to, like, because I want our discussion to be on the record. And it that's something that we do on councils and commissions to make sure that it's all done legally.
So,
go ahead, Kalina.
I appreciate your sentiments, Ma. And I know from being here for a number of years now, many, 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 many times we've discussed our BTPs. It's we have the Sunshine Law, we have our minutes. So everything we're doing right now is being documented and is being processed legally. We can have discussions without having to have a motion. And usually the archaeologist is sitting there taking notes pen in hand. So when we have an issue or a concern, they're right there drafting and nodding. Okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to take it back to the landowner. So when we're all said and done, they put those ideas and thoughts and questions and comments and edits on paper, and it still gets moved forward. And that's how we end up with a finished BTP that all of us can live with. So I'm not afraid to process the way we're doing it and have in the past. I think it's been functional. And I personally am afraid to, like, either say no or yes to the BTP right now when it's in such a raw state that we need to iron out a few more wrinkles. I don't want to be stuck in that, like you said, Robert's rules. Uncle Des, I'd rather just be flowing and have it open for us to just freely think and comment and question before we have a formal motion on the floor. That's just my thought. Thank you.
Yeah, Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. If I could clarify. I thought you guys were going to go into this, or talking about going into discussion. If you guys are just asking local questions, she can answer the questions prior to motion. So it's just to clarify with her. But if you guys are going to have a discussion, then that would come after the motion.
So we can ask Loki questions, but then we do have to make some kind of motion, but we can motion to defer too.
Yeah.
We don't have to accept or reject. Can we motion to defer?
But the motion, just trying to clarify myself. What is the motion for? As is preservation in place, or are we talking about the buffer?
Hold on, Kiki. Yeah. Motion to preserve in place was already seconded and discussed and passed. So okay. That's already set.
So this already set.
Now we're working on the BTP.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we pass on BTP, then you will have to retract your motion. If in the discussion you find out that, right? That's not, now when you get on the discussion, you're like, why you move that? You got to retract that motion. So that's why
my motion wasn't seconded, so it doesn't, it's off, it's gone. Yeah. No more of the motion because it wasn't seconded.
Oh, you're talking about, hold on. Just get control. First, I just wanted to make clear on the first motion on the preservation in place that was passed, and so that's gone. I mean, we're already done with that. We went on, and the one that wasn't second was to accept the burial treatment plan, the draft. So, you know, so now we at a place where we're gonna have to bring up a like Law said, either defer or not accept or whatever, another motion if you like, or we can just open up to questions to Loki. And have your questions answered that way. Okay, so any questions for Loki?
I have the same questions.
Don't trade them. Say your question again.
Oh, okay. So is there a time limit for the incremental implementation of the BTP and the preservation measures for when it comes to UH's side?
So there's no hard timetable right now. And part of that is because the access to be able to get people to go down there to work on the site is currently, there is no legal vehicular access for us to get down there. Okay, so until that road is either reopened,
then we'll be able to get crew and machinery and the equipment down there to do that work. Okay, so that's something that we have to be mindful of when we're thinking about implementation. Okay, and that has to do with the county. The county is working on that as well. There is plans to reopen that portion of the road. I don't know when. Okay, but once that road is open, then we can begin implementation. So stabilization is, you know, would be the first sort of step in the implementation portion of this process. But we do not have a hard timetable, and part of that has to do with allocation of funds to be able to do that type of work for down at Kumukahi.
I have a question for Loki. It's similar to what Trevor was talking about, because when you brought in the sort of like an amendment to this barrier treatment plan about when the funds and whatever is going to be, so now you're talking, I mean, you don't even know when they can start on doing what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So that's a concern, and you know, we don't want the thing to be left open for 30 or whatever time, you know, there's no time limit. And now when you're dealing with money available, now you got other problems that can delay all of that process. So that's my concern anyway. Maybe we can hear from some of the people, Greg, them, and if you'd like to make comment on those things too, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Chair. So as Loki has indicated, you know, there are a number of different factors affecting timeline or timing. Obviously, access is one of them. And as we all know, the county is actively working on that. Another issue is the funding. Because we have no planned development down there, this was not something that was budgeted for. So that's something that we still going to have to work through. But I think it's important to note also that there's another sort of factor that is important to us. We recognize the importance of preserving these and taking care of these sites. But it has to be done in a way that is, engages not just the lineal descendants, but has support of the broader community as well. And as I think folks here on this call know, we've been approached by different community groups in Pune who have expressed interest in working with us on implementing the BTP. And it's going to take some time, quite frankly, to work through sort of understanding, people's interests and motivations and whatnot. The last thing the university wants to do is get caught in between community hakaka. I'll just be quite honest with you folks. And so this is going to take a little bit of time to kind of work through all of that. So it's a combination of factors that are contributing to the fact that there is no hard timeline. I understand the concern about that. But if we're going to do this and we're going to do this correctly, it's not just a timing issue, it's a people issue as well.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I gotta just make it known to you. I would hope you guys postpone, because until we get the opinion of the AG, this or the AG's office, if the prior barrier treatment plan that was approved with those buffers in place, if there were decisions to hold according to the rules at the time. Because if we're doing it, what we do is actually usurping the rules and the last council that made the decisions. Right now, we're talking about the site where they're responsible for the whole road, whoever in people for the property. So the prior landowner was the US DOE. Yeah? So that made them federal. So it's not just these state laws, but you got a preservation for all of us. So go and educate yourselves, the university, and educate the main populace, yeah? So the concern you said about Okupuna, Okupuna get desecrated all over Okupuna. But mostly this is because of the reluctance of Umepanpani and Ponopani. So you get out of here saying that they could see the landowner, take into account, you know, more all of the information, right? My concern is that we're moving ahead, and thank you for what you said, but until we get one legal opinion, we might be going into the wrong direction. Yeah, because if we're usurping the rules that was in place, and we're moving on, you know, more all in enough information, and the rule says, you should be afforded all of the information before you make any decisions. So I'm trying to be into, you know, that yes, nobody like this team more expedited than myself and my cousin, our whole family. And for the benefit of the community, we gotta resolve this properly. It should be a day, and DLNR should be watching them. That's what's supposed to be happening. That's part of the barrier treatment plan. We gotta start way out there. So you're giving get cemeteries, no, we take stones, right? In more places getting desecrated. Out there, we look how much desecration. Read all the police reports, look at all the stuff, and it's desolate. Now that the county and the overflow came, the county gonna say that they get access to the road or make limited access. Right there, say the news gonna keep them open. You like keep them open? Good, keep them open. Put one guard 24/7. Make sure the guard can enforce the rules and the laws. And that's what the barrier treatment plan gotta have. Not this kind of, oh, you know what? We're just gonna put this wall and, you know, we're gonna give limited access. Ask me limited access? How come we get limited access? We gotta still go outside and watch it. We gotta keep on coming to this process. Keep on now. Because only when you say, you know more than money. Well, you know what? Tap into FEMA, tap into something, tap into your pocket. Because that's what the landowner, all landowners gotta go through. The law says the landowner, recognized landowner, is the ultimate responsibility. You don't like them? Let's go back to the feds thing. Give them back to the feds. You know, you know, for them? Give them back to the feds. We deal with the feds, because they're in the federal. To make sure that all of these preservation laws exist. And it's because they gotta talk to us, the 106. You guys try to usurp the process, the county. Everybody try, boom, fly over them. They got tagged. I think letters right here from FEMA. You know who pulling this thing up? This whole process right here, pulling up the monies for FEMA. They cannot start on our project. They will start with 132. Well knowing, you see the all knowledge of that the road all the way to the lighthouse is 132. Yet they wanted to crush them. So now they came in, they opened the road without following the 106 consultation process. That's why we back here. That's why you guys back here. So I say, you mean that, you gotta go back and ask if the rules that are entirely said, what is the BTP? What is the preservation measure? What is the buffer zone? Was already taken. So if that is out the door, we gotta know. Otherwise, you're usurping the law that was in place and the decision of the Kupuna. That, at that time, was unanimous. And I gonna tell you about discussions. That's an interesting law, that this rule that says you pass up and then you make a discussion. How do you figure that? What is that? You pass on rule and you make one discussion, they tell you right there, you know what, all of the information to make a good decision. Talking about discussions, then I was with the council and we know more even on timeline. We discuss all the way. We don't stop at 3 o'clock. We go to the team finish and we all need to resolve this. Say, okay, now we're ready for work. That's 10 o'clock at night. We stay in corner, we stay wherever we go. because that's what is our part. That's what we do as the council, because we get the EK and we got to live with the responsibility of the decisions we make.
Okay, hold on, Kiki. Kiki, hold on. Hold on, Kiki. We moving off the agenda here. You know, we're talking about DOE, we're talking about all these county roads and all that stuff like that. Let's get back to the thing. We tried to make a motion to pass the barrier treatment plan, so that failed. So any other council member want to make another motion?
I don't have a motion, but I do have I do want to address one of your concerns about the past burial council and what they passed. So as burial council, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, we can pass the recommendation for a burial treatment plan, but it does not mean that it necessarily is in place. So even if we were to, even back then with the council voting for passing up the recommendation of the state to accept it, does not necessarily mean that it was accepted, but that is would give me info on that. Or okay, did you come across anything like that?
From my understanding that, and this was confirmed with Kia, that the state never signed off, they never accepted that 2002 MOA, and nor had UH signed off on it, partially because
it's not the rule said. The rule, it looks like
I just wanted to sign off on the KPDAS for both parties.
Okay, Norman.
What's
yes.
Hold
on.
Norman,
on his barrel.
Wait, hold on, Norman. Kevin. You guys got to quiet. Somebody else is talking. Okay, go ahead, Norman.
Yeah, I've been on this barrel council for a long time, and it's kind of been bothering me for a long time about whenever we do something and we make a motion and we vote, and then after we vote and the motion is passed, then we get discussion. You know, I feel that we should have all business have discussion first, then vote on. You know, we went backwards, and it's been going on for a long time. I guess nobody kind of being bothered by that, but I don't think it's the right way to do it. You know, you got to discuss it, work all the kinks out for or against, and then come to the conclusion, then vote for approval.
Well, I think you guys all getting mixed up, because that's exactly what we did. We had a motion, we had a second, we had discussion, and then we voted, and then it was passed. So that was the preservation in place. The confusion we got was when we got into the barrier treatment plan. You know, then we started, when the thing failed, we tried to discuss it. You know, and so Law's view was that, you know, we should try and stay in some kind of order for the records and stuff. So anyway, yeah, so that thing was discussed, it was voted, and it was passed. Just that one item. The second one failed because nobody seconded. So we're still in line and the way we're supposed to conduct this meeting. So anybody else? Okay, Law, sorry.
I have a question for Loke, but That I think is a big misunderstanding, is that you don't make a motion and then second and then vote and then discuss. You make a motion and then someone will second it. If no one seconds it, the motion dies. If someone seconds it, we discuss it. And then we can vote, or someone can amend their motion, or we can retract our motion and make a new one. There's a bunch of stuff that happens after, but My main question to Chris was, do we have to do that? And he clarified that we're allowed to ask Loke questions before, and maybe he can re-clarify, do we have to do it that way? And if we don't, if we have discussion and we don't put a motion on the table, what does that mean? And so I'm seeking counsel on that, because I want to make sure that what we're doing in the way that's most efficient to make sure that this gets done properly. But you never vote immediately after. There's always discussion between the motion and the second before voting. That being said, I really wanted to ask Loke a question about access. And I think I'm understanding it well, but the access for recognized descendants, it mentions that they're going to be allowed with prior notice. What I needed to understand is right after that, it says they're asked to notify UH by email or phone call. There's a couple of things to that I have questions about, Loke. The first is that, are they required to receive confirmation, like a response back from UH saying, okay, you can go, like a permission, or are they just required to send the email or give a phone call with a voicemail saying, hey, we're going to go down, whether it's midnight or it's noon, whatever time, and just let them know they're going. And then they don't have to wait for any response.
From my understanding, it's the latter of what you just said. They would just be required to just notify. They're not, okay. It's not for permission. You know, it's just to let them know.
So that's really nice, because usually with landowners, they have some sort of, it feels like there's a timeline or agreed on time frames, and they try to kind of constrain and limit. So I think that's really good if that is the intent. I think I would expect to see that a little bit more clear, because when I first looked at access, it was concerning to me. It didn't seem clear. So I was like, well, is there a time frame? Or do they have 24 hours to respond so that descendants can go down? Do the descendants have to wait? You know, so it kind of made me a little worried, because access is the most important part of this preservation plan to me personally. And then there's a lot of talk of the preservation measures outlined being done after more input from descendants. So I think what I would ask is, are we even in a place where you feel you want us to make recommendations to the state, or are you thinking you're just cut here for discussion and we can defer it to the next meeting and then look at something a little after you've had more time to talk to descendants?
Yeah, so, you know, as I usually do the BTPs, I like to at least give you folks a presentation of this draft of what we have, and we flesh out details, any concerns. And so, and then I, you know, we'll address those things with the landowner and with descendants, any issues or things that come up. And then I can come back, you know, with a, you know, cleaner version, you know, of the BTP. But that language about just continued consultation and involvement with the descendants was just to ensure that, you know, their guidance is there every step of the way, you know, especially as it relates to the buffer size, the laws, you know, and all those things. You know, I met with them in person. We talked about it, you know, in that earlier, you know, MOA, the buffers are being proposed to be much larger, but would have crossed over multiple landowners and would have been colliding with each other. And so, you know, we sat down and we talked about this stuff. And we went through several iterations of what the buffers could look like. And this is sort of what we had settled on. And so just, you know, for me, including that language in the draft to ensure that the descendants are continuously involved throughout the various steps of the process for as long as they choose to be involved and want to be involved, you know. And so I just didn't want to make it where we consulted with them and we're done.
Right.
You know, to make sure that, you know, their guidance is going to be critical as we, you know, in the future, you know, moving forward with this stuff.
So Uncle Scott, or actually, I guess Kea, I don't know who I'm asking. Should we just defer motion to someone, make a motion to defer it? And then we can just keep looking at, give her more, our recommendations on some things we want to see changed.
Yeah, I think a motion to defer might see how that goes. Somebody has to make it.
Yeah, I motion to defer this until next meeting and discuss it more. Then we've got 90 days from now on whether we recommend accepting or not accepting. So we've got plenty of time.
I I can second.
Law seconds, okay. Discussion? Go ahead, Delano.
I think we should ask the AG the question that Keiki has put forth, because until we have a deeper understanding of what the legal aspects are, we need to have that information, and that's why the AG needs to answer that question. So along with deferring, I think, I don't know who has the authority to reach out to AG, if that's our burial site specialist.
I think it's us too, yeah? We can ask him.
I have no idea. I have never reached out to the AG personally, deputy AG. I just know we have a question on the table. They should be here. We need some guidance and answers before we could really move forward and pass this BTP. So if we can just dovetail that in with our deferring.
Yeah, I move to amend the motion to, one, defer this matter into the next meeting, but also get the AG's input.
I will second that.
Okay. The motion was to defer the burial treatment plan and with the stipulation that the AG be present. Any discussion? And second by Kalena. Any discussion? My concern is this, is that if you put that little thing in, that little amendment in there about the AG being present and she's not, then we're going to delay the process even longer. You know, I think we have a process of, hold on. We have a process of writing all our questions to the AG, or Shifty can request their presence. You know, I think one way or another, if we get the questions and then get it answered, one way or another, whether it's in person or by letter, you know, that's a step forward to conduct the meeting in a meaningful way. That you know, this process, this one burial treatment plan has been going up for a couple of years now, so. That's my input on that. Okay, Trevin, what?
Sorry if I misspoke. My motion was just to get input from the AG, not to happen. But via an email.
Sorry. Yeah, so we'll have Shifty draft a letter and request them to be in person. That would be really helpful. So we have discussed. Anybody else want to discuss? Okay, let's vote on deferring. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4. Desmond. Oh, never mind. Okay. I'm gonna abstain from this vote. How many votes? Okay, so we have 5 aye and 1 abstain. All right. So we can move on to the next burial treatment plan. The next item agenda is, let me see. Burial treatment plan for SIHP sites 50-10-5-2496, 4004, 4013, and 16148 and 16162, Kahu Ali E Li'i, Kahua First, Apua North Kohala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK semicolon parentheses 3-5-9-001 semicolon 008. Good look at Johan again.
Okay. All right. Aloha ho kako. So at the October 2022 HIBC meeting, I presented the draft burial treatment plan for these 5 sites 50-10-05-2496, 4004, 4013, 16148, and 16162 in Kahua Li'ili'i in North Kohala. At that meeting, council made a determination to preserve in place, but deferred the recommendation to Shifty to accept the plan until comments that were raised at that meeting were addressed. So the comments that came out from that meeting included concerns regarding access to all of the burial sites, as well as implementation, and being more specific about the responsibility delegation between for implementation of the BTP. So as noted in the October HIBC meeting, when I first presented it, there were three of the five sites that had access via the public access route, and that has since been changed. And so the two other burial sites, 16148B and 4013C, we have since put in established some customary access routes that would take people directly to those particular sites. So if you look on page 42 of the burial treatment plan, I believe it's the very last page, not the very end page, but the last page of that section, you'll see site 4013 is kind of near that parking cul-de-sac area. So we have established a customary access route that would lead from the cul-de-sac kind of in a place that's less steep, and then the descendants or registered descendants will be able to get down to that site from the cul-de-sac parking lot area. And then for site 16148B, which is kind of on the south side of the project area, it's that red dot kind of halfway up, a customary access route has been established from the Alaloa, or the road, that green strip that you see, your corridor. It would follow up along the boundary of that particular parcel and then connect to the burial site itself, to the burial preserve. Let's see. Yeah, so that has been sort of addressed as far as your folks concerned regarding access to all the sites. So now this BTP reflects access to all five of the burial sites. You know, as I noted earlier, the other three are located along the public access route or along the Alaloa corridor. So that will all be open, you know, will be a public space to use. As for implementation, I have since spelled out which parties would be responsible for implementing both the short and long-term preservation measures. So as it stands now, the current landowner is committed to implementing the short-term preservation measures, which includes the installation of temporary fencing 30 feet from the edge of the site, as well as having a meet and bound survey of those preservation easements completed. These preservation easements, along with the requirements and restrictions, will be recorded against the title to the respective land parcels with the Bureau of Conveyances. In this way, any future landowner will be made aware of their legal obligations and restrictions associated with the sites on their property before they decide to go through with the purchase of the property. And so for the long-term implementation of the long-term preservation measures, the respective landowners would be responsible for that, which includes the construction of the rock wall buffers prior to the issuance of any grubbing or grading permits. So they would have to implement that in order to get a permit to build their residence on that property, as well as general maintenance of vegetation and, you know, any trash that happens to blow into the preserves. They're responsible for maintaining that. I also reiterated that the landowners must allow recognized descendants access to the burial sites as described in the plan. I opted not to specify a specific time frame because I know that came up, you know, like a sun up to sundown kind of thing. But keeping it open allows for descendants to be able to visit the site when they desire, as long as there's just a prior notice given to the landowner. So those were the two comments that were raised at the last meeting, and I have since addressed those particular comments. So if there are any other questions or concerns.
Yeah, I have a question. You're talking landowner, but there's a whole bunch of landowners that guys have to go through. So how does that work?
So as you can see, the different, some of the sites are on specific parcels. So, mm-hmm. so they would have to work with that specific landowner if they're looking to get to a site on a specific parcel. Those that are along the Alaloa, they would be able to visit, you know, access to those without having to consult with the landowner.
Will those contacts be available to the lineal or cultural descendants?
Yes, I don't have the details on if those parcels were sold.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah. So, but that kind of information can be made available to the descendants. As it stands right now, we have not found any or no recognized lineal or cultural descendants have come forward. Yeah. So okay. we've written it with them in mind.
Thank you. Oh, go ahead, Trevor. Oh, Helena, ladies first. Helena.
Okay, thank you. When I was reading the implementation of burial treatment plans, the long-term preservation really concerned me, and I'm not sure if I was single on that, but the idea that this Kohala company, LLC, is going to sell these lots and then expect the new owners to put up the rock walls just kind of fried me. And it seems like an orange fence, a plastic orange fence, as you know, that's their commitment is the short term, just doesn't sound good to me at all. And I feel like if this is a really wealthy company, a developer, they ought to put it forward and build those barriers before they sell the lots. We don't know who these owners are that are in the future. We know who the owner is now. I'm not shooting the messenger, lovely. No, I love you, and you do good work. It's just, where is this Kohala company? Why aren't they sitting here? We should be able to look them in the face and ask them, why can you make money and profit off of our aina, but you're not willing to protect our iwi kupuna on the property? You're just going to put your orange fence up and then leave it for the owners who are probably going to be coming from the mainland who have no stake in our culture or care. And it will get lost in the paperwork and the shuffle. 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 3 years from now, we're going to be doing our thing. Properties will be sold, and there's no accountability to see if those people put that rock wall up. For me, I would rather the owners, they put up these barrier, these long-term preservation walls before they sell the lots. That was my big burn. And I don't know if it touched anybody else and it triggered you guys. And the other thing I was wondering about was, did you guys do any research on the LCAs to find out? It looks like grant. It was a grant that was issued. That 38 point whatever looks like a grant acreage allotment. So I'm wondering who are the family names that are associated in that Ahupua'a that you could call on? Because I didn't see those names in the back where you guys put the newspaper ads out.
Yeah, there was no Kuleana awards that we, no records that we found that tied any specific families to that area, which for us makes it harder to identify folks and get specific names. And even for land grants as well, there's really limited information on these grantees themselves. So, you know, it's unfortunate. And I tried also working with SHIFD to see if there was any registered descendants, not only for these particular, for this particular Ahupua'a, but for adjacent ones, if there was anyone that had been registered and there was no registered descendants. There's sort of a gap in this particular part of Kohala as far as registered descendants. So I mean, sure there was Ohana down in that area that I'm not, you know, questioning at all. I just don't know who these people are today.
I have a question for what Kalena just said about the new buyers, the ones that buy this property, they're going to be responsible for securing those sites, or is the developer going to be responsible? That was an interesting thing she said.
Yeah. So right now, as it stands in the plan, it's the onus of installing the rock wall buffers is on the future landowner, not on the current landowner.
It's page 41.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. That's okay. Thank you.
In regards to that Would that be something you'd be willing to make a change with the BTP?
Are the landowner, is anybody here to represent them, Loki?
No.
Okay, just wanted to double check. I was assuming that.
Yeah.
Loki takes all the heat.
we appreciate you for it, though.
Yeah,
that's something I can work with the landowners to, to implement both, everything. You know, the short term, so putting up the orange fencing, getting those areas flagged, marked, and walls put up.
Yeah, because I see a big problem with somebody that buys that property for all those millions or whatever, and then you telling him what to do on his land that he's not even connected to, China and stuff like that. It's gonna be a mess. You know, if you could try and get that, what Trevor suggested, try and see if the developer can be involved in that one segment, that'd be great.
And then I have one other thing that's not as major of a concern, but I noticed that there's going to be no outplanting. It's just going to be removal of invasive species and maintaining that. I know that side of Kohala, there's big issues with soil runoff during heavy storms and stuff like that. Is there a way to include, as long as it doesn't affect the integrity of the site itself or the walls, but including some sort of native vegetation to help retain what topsoil there is? I know it's a very rocky area, but there's still a lot of topsoil underneath that.
Yeah, we haven't really thought too much about that particular issue. The whole point for us, it was to keep it as sort of in its natural state as possible. And out there, because of the water issues, with limited water, the heat, the dryness, I don't know if planting, because we don't want people to landscape in there, because people have different ideas of what is appropriate landscaping sometimes. And even if you were to plant something that's coastal, alpaca, that thing can take over really quickly. So and we've seen that happen in other sites before. So we opted to try and just keep it as in its natural state as much as possible.
Okay. Any other discussion, anybody?
Just a quick comment. We are at our 90 days for us to vote on whether or not to recommend the acceptance or non-acceptance of this, and after this meeting, it goes straight to SHPD without our say.
Oh, thanks for that one. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. Anybody?
No, I was just going to say, I'd be happy to change the language so that the responsibility of implementation would be all on the landowner. That I can do.
I feel comfortable with that. If that person, that institution will really commit to that. Because that's my bone. That's my bone to pick.
So I move to accept the BTP or recommendation of acceptance of the BTP, given that the language has changed so that the preservation measures go on the current landowner, not future landowners.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved that the barrier treatment plan be accepted with the stipulation that was that last part?
Stipulation that the language is changed so that the current landowner takes on the expenses for the preservation measures.
Okay, that was made by Trevin and second by Kalina. Any discussion? Okay, call for the vote. All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Okay, unanimous. This barrier treatment plan is passed.
Thank you, Loke.
Thank you, Loke.
Thanks. Thank you.
That was a mean one. They did great. Always. Okay.
Amigo Kako, me jumping off.
Okay. Item C, discussion of Hawaiian Borough Council membership roles and responsibilities, information and discussion. I tried to reach Kale because, you know, before the meeting started, we talked to, I don't even know if this is the part to bring this up, but I was talking to Norman, who didn't know about one of our members, Viola Higa's passing and stuff like that. And Galena had brought up, you know, maybe giving some kind of tribute to him, and Homea, we talked to Homea about maybe just saying a pulley and stuff, and we can all say something about how Wayola touched our council and our lives. And I'll start that off. Wayola and I were classmates, and you know, I was real glad when he got onto the Barrow Council. He's involved with the Royal Order. He's involved with, he was a master holly builder. He worked on a lot of hay yards and rock wall sites around the state. He was always there to help people, always. So I'm going to miss him, and we're all going to miss him. Yeah. Anybody else want to make comment on Wayola? That'd be great.
Wow. I'm going to miss Wayola because it was a good brother.
Yep.
I met him in Royal Lada Kamehameha in Kona. And I talked to him about joining the Barrow Council. And he was interested. He got involved. And he was one good man, and he will be missed. So, to you, Wayola.
Okay. Well, okay, Kalina, go ahead.
I didn't know Wayola only from our council meetings, but I just could tell from my time sitting with him or asking him to do our pulley for us. He always had this pure, kind gentleness that only he could have. He had focus in terms of communicating that prayer to keep us all grounded and so that we were centered and basically governed by Akua. And I really appreciated that about him. I always felt like he always had this good prayer for all of us that was different from Desmond, Uncle Des, but so critical and important. And I miss that. I will miss that about him. And when I was looking at our minutes and could see that he did our pule in October, it just triggered me that, you know, I knew he had passed, but we never got to honor him and send him our love in the heavens. And so I will miss him. We will miss him. We appreciate all the spiritual energy that he brought to our council. Just want to wrap him with light and love in heaven. Thank you.
Thank you, Galena. You know, we besides Wayola passing, you know, we also had a couple other council members that moved on. So now we're getting a lot of the young and really sharp members coming onto the board. Iini, we're still waiting for Nalei's daughter. I'm sorry. Chip, Kale, what happened to her again? I thought she was in last month.
Yeah, she hasn't turned in her paperwork yet.
She had last week's luncheon. She had someone right in front of her. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, when she joins, you know, main thing. We all like I said, from the start of this chair. You know, everybody treat everybody with respect. We move along. You know, it's hard to keep everybody in line because everybody, you know, everybody gets emotional and stuff like that. But maybe we be respectful and stay on point. You know, that's the two key things that I always bring up. And always, of course, the number one thing is the EV. You know, so I know how Kiki feels about all the EVs, you know, and I feel the same way. But, you know, I just got a deal as a chair in a way. I mean, I just have to deal with the BTP that was in front of me with those three sites. you know, hopefully we can get all of them encompassing the same protection that we're giving this VPP that's coming up with that we deferred right now. But anyway, any other things you guys want to say about roles and rules or whatever? I know we had a lot of discussion on Robert's rules today, but you know, sometimes you just gotta sort of like melt them two together. It's you know, we don't always gotta stay on stuff, but that was a good point though. You know, and we always, like both La and Kalena were right. We always talk about we always discuss stuff before we even go, but you know, before we even take votes or make motions and stuff. But sometimes you gotta stay in line, and then you know, if it does get out of line, a lot of times it's my fault because I forget the procedures, I forget the Robert's rules. But anyway, I sort of like studying in and stuff and trying to be sharper and all that. But anyway, anything else?
Mahalo, you guys. Thank you for all of your service and giving yourself what it's been. You've been crying on you guys' personal life and all your decisions be carried with you forever. But mahalo for giving us that opportunity. Yeah, thank you. And I know, you know, the South, when you get rules and other people don't get following. And then you get guys who stay in the highest positions and they don't like do the correction. And it's right. Not money that's holding them up. Wow, this blew my mind. But yeah. Mahalo, you guys is the. Thank you for the patience and the best you stay.
You know, I agree on a lot of things you said, Kiki, because, you know, we discussed this, you know, on our own before, you know, just as a chair, I had to deal with just that BTP. I never know about the last, you know, I don't even know how when council could have agreed to encompass all those sites when there wasn't even in one area. How can a buried treatment plant be made for four different landowners? I didn't know any of that, and you know, and then that transfer of land from UH to from DOE back to the to UH and maybe back to them again. I don't even know anything about that either. So you know, we just have to deal with the situation at hand. Go ahead, Norman.
I just wanted to recommend that we call this meeting to an end.
Is that a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to
adjourn.
Adjourn.
I second that.
All right. Okay, great. Hey, thanks everybody for showing up. And I hope you learned something again, Angela.
Can Desmond come in and pop in and make a play for us for Loyola, please?
He's probably sleeping behind that picture. He's Desmond, help me out. Are you here?
He messaged
you. I just don't want to get cut off again.
Oh, forget.
I want to mahalo Kiki for conducting that hui kuka kuka. You know, short of being ho'oponopono and doing ho'oponopono. Mm-hmm. But it's essential that discussion was made. And kuka kuka, it lowers the level of tension.
Mm-hmm.
It requires us to be, just Nanea in our voice, in our leo, because we are dealing with kupuna. And as an indigenous healer, it's important that we understand that we're healing, we're trying to heal our aina. And if it's on our shoulders, that we follow the pathways of our kupuna. Can you stop the recording, please? But this is for us. And, you know, I struggle between between my Tahitian language and my other language, my Ola Lova'a. But, you know, Waiola was, it's a huge loss for our community, this Kanaka. He's very opinionated. He has a lot of manawa, and he's not.